What's up, y'all, and welcome back to another episode from the women's segment on our new series, What Happened to You? And so, yeah, we're back. And we got our guest with us.
We have a guest. I'm excited because we went to high school together. This is my homegirl.
I'm it.
This is Kayla Stringfield. I'm going to let her introduce herself and throw her bio out there.
Hey, hello, everybody. My name is Kayla Stringfield, like Marie said. I am currently a teacher. I teach Algebra 1, to be exact. I'm a nerd, for real. Also, a very purpose-driven person, very transparent as well. So this podcast will, you know, tell you a lot about me. What else want me to say? I don't want to give too much.
Yeah, we're gonna get into it. All right, let's do a mental health check-in.
Okay.
We stealing from the main segment.
Go ahead and tell us how you feeling on a scale of 1 through 10.
10 being the best, 1 being the worst.
I got something like an 8.5, honestly. Good. I feel really good, really excited. I prepared for this episode. I'm really, really, really excited about what y'all want to talk about. But I guess the 2 points are missing because I don't know. I'm tired. I had a long day. I wake up at 5 a.m. To plan.
I'd be rolling over.
And then I just go be Miss Stringfield for 8 hours. And then I have to be
Miss Kayla. Is that what they call you?
Yes.
Oh.
I have to be Miss Kayla for like an hour and a half at the Fashionettes.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have to change my head again to be a mom. And then I change my head again to be Kayla, to be here. So, yes, it's been a long day.
Ooh, I love that.
That's a lot of hats. But Fashionettes is, we's the model at Western High School, only the best.
Yes. If you don't know, you just have to look it up.
Find out.
But yes.
For me, what? I'm feeling good today. I ain't gonna lie. I'm real energetic. God is good. I'm like a 10. Yeah, I'm a 10. Okay. For sure.
Ew, I like that.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, we lit. I will say the same. As y'all can tell, I'm very energetic today as well. Very bubbly. Y'all, because I woke up this morning and decided, you know what? I ain't going in the office. Excuse me, can I telework? Yes, you can. Okay, thank you. So, yeah, no, I had a really good day. And so I would say a 10 across the board as well. So we can go ahead now and jump into it.
Yeah. I'm first.
All right, so first, this is the What Happened to You series. So obviously we're asking a bunch of questions, just getting all in your business so we can really talk about and take a deep dive into Kayla Stringfield. I'm sure there are a lot of things that got you to who you are today. So let's hear about it. Like, where would you want to start?
Okay, I can start with college. So question, should I be talking to you or should I be looking here?
Yeah, okay. You can do both. It's because you're going to probably see that you're going to, from us to there sometimes. Yeah. Either one's cool.
All right, that works. So I guess I'll start back with college. Like when I was in college, maybe like my sophomore year. So I realized that you ever had that feeling where it's like, I'm uneasy. Mm-hmm. I feel like I need to be doing something. I just don't know what. Like it was just like an awkward space. Like, and I learned that it was like God trying to talk to me. And I felt like I just needed to silence the noise. I was very distracted. A lot of things were distracting me. And it was like a Sunday. So I was driving back to campus and I felt that knot in my throat. Like, you know, that knot, you're about to cry. And I'm like, I'm going to just hold it. I'm just get there. And like the closer I got to my dorm, you know, how I go to the bathroom when you get home. It was like getting worse and worse. And I'm like, I'm about to break. Like I'm about to fall apart. And when I got to my dorm, I literally was running. Like, I remember this. Like, I was running. I closed my door, and I just fell to the ground. I was boo-hoo crying. Like, I don't know what was happening. But after that day, I started listening to Sarah Jakes Roberts. Mm. I was watching her morning, night, like a ritual. Like, morning, night for, like, a week straight. And then the next week, I would run into people, and they would just talk to me about stuff. And my response was literally something that I watched on Sarah. And I'm like, okay, now it's becoming, like, a habit. Like, I developed a fear to, like, miss out. Like, I'm like, if I don't watch this video, I won't have the words that somebody need. So that's kind of what created that consistency with watching Sarah, tapping into, because I feel like I grew up in church. So first of all, I always went to church. You come over my house on the weekend, you better bring your church clothes because we going.
You're going to church.
Yeah, so I always grew up in church, but I guess when I was younger, I really didn't understand what the preacher was talking about. And then I joined the Courts of Christ, maybe like, I don't really remember how old I was, but I understood what Pastor Fliggins was saying. And I always felt a presence in church. Like I always would get goosebumps from like a kid. So I just say all that to say, like, I kind of, when I heard Sarah's voice, I recognized it. Like it was like music to my ears. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. You're putting life into perspective for me. And it's kind of giving me this power that I need on this campus. I was doing that for like, you know, a while. And then Miss Lincoln at the time, I went to Lincoln. So Miss Lincoln at the time, she was doing sister circles. So like women on campus would just come and we would just talk. So one day I went and I was listening. We was talking about something. I don't really remember. But all I remember was I closed my eyes and I started talking. And when I opened my eyes, I looked around, everybody was crying. Everybody. The whole room was in tears. And I'm like, well, what did I say? Like, I don't even know what I said. So from that moment, I was like, I have a voice. I have things to say. And then I started to kind of dissect that. Like, Kayla, what, like, go back into your closet and figure out, like, what is this about? I've always been a talker. On every report card, it said, conduct interferes with learning. Every single one, because I just always talk. I was just not talking about the right things or at the right times. So I was like, okay, I see some purpose here. Continue to talk to people, and it's just like, it became a thing for me. Like, my friends always gravitated towards me. I always had a lot of little sisters. Like, it was just like a thing, but I didn't really start taking it serious until that moment. So I was going to run for Miss Lincoln, and my campaign was called Divine Purpose, The Inevitable Journey. And granted, okay, I joined this business, right? Well, COVID hit. And then once COVID hit, we went home and I joined Forex. You know what Forex is?
Girl, I was a part.
Okay.
She recruited me.
So I was doing Forex. I did my big one, not gonna lie. My business was called Phasing for Purpose Foundation.
Yes, it was.
Still very intentional.
What team were you on, if you don't mind me asking?
SBC.
Okay.
Under Jalen?
That was Trade House.
Yeah, Trade House too.
That was Trade House. Okay, okay. We're all under one umbrella.
Yeah, so my first time getting on a call, it was motivational, like heavy motivation. Yeah. I'm like, I can do that. They showed me that compensation plan. I said, I can talk to these people. Like, I'm coming, like I'm on a high still from college. Like, I just made this whole room cry. I know I can do this. So I took off running. My business was definitely grounded in like purpose, helping people put things in perspective. Like, it was really a mentoring program. I'm not going to lie. Like,
yes,
I told people a little strategy, how to trade on a scanner, but most, like, the gist of my business was heavy on motivation. So that was a big eye opener for me. Once everything kind of like fell apart, I hit chairman in 9 months, and that was just straight. I could not teach you how to make no $1 million. Like, so I just knew like what I was doing was working. Like, the 40-year-olds, people my mom age calling my phone trying to get their life in order. And I'm like, all right, Kayla, you got to talk. You have to speak. Like, that is a given. And then, what was it? We went to Houston for an SBC event. And I got a chance to speak SP5 on a stage of like 10,000 people. And I think from that moment, it was like, I need a stage. I'm creating my own stage. I need the pulpit. I need something. I'm going to talk to these people. And then I guess that's where I found my voice. And I just never took it lightly from that moment. It's like, I really believe I can shift a whole culture by my perspective and things I have to say. So, yeah.
Wow.
That's who I am.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm sitting here in total amazement. Yeah. First of all, like, your aura, your personality, it's big. But when I say like big, like bright, that's a better word. It takes up the room, your essence. It's so beautiful and it's so powerful. So as you're saying, like, I need a mic. I have to speak. I have to do all of these things. Like, literally your voice carries so much power.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
You just dominated the whole atmosphere.
It's so crazy that you say that.
At this point.
Because my line name, so I'm in a sorority, and my line name is Exuberant. And it was just good. Like, I don't know. That's good. It's just like, so people ask me all the time, like, because obviously all my businesses have something with purpose in it.
Yeah.
And everybody always asks me, well, how do you find your purpose? How do you find your purpose? And I feel like the first step is examining your past.
So I was just going to ask you about that.
Every time I like think about something, I always got to think back. Like, where did it start? What is the root? Like, how can we figure out who we are now to change who we want to be? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I always been like that. Like, I've always been the kid that kind of stood out in a way. But my mom is like that too. You know my mom. So it's like
What's
my mom.
What's your earliest memory of that, like, that you can think of in this moment?
So fifth grade, I won the Barack Obama Award. And I had no idea, like, I mean, I've always had, like, honor roll. I've always been, like, a nerd. But the Barack Obama Award was, like, beyond academics. And I went to a Catholic school. So all of our assemblies and stuff was at church. And I remember sitting in this pews. And I'm like, I know I'm not getting this award. There's no point. Like, what? I know Sanaa Scott is getting it. Like, I just know. She is the smartest girl in the school. So, cool. They said Kayla Stringfield. Mm-hmm. I was looking like, oh my God. Like, I could not believe it. I couldn't believe it. And it was like, from that moment, it was like, all right, you special for real. And also too, you know how you're in church and like your mom go to the altar call and you go with her. And it was just like, I remember a pastor, I don't know what pastor said this, but they kind of like put hands and they started saying things. And I really remember them saying like, you're going to be somebody. You're going to be this. You're going to be that. And I'm like, okay. I didn't have any other choice but to receive it at that point. Yeah. I was a kid. I didn't really know. But I don't know. I think I always just, my mom always pushed me out there too. Mm-hmm. Like, even, you know how you're in a store and somebody speak and you shy, you don't want to say nothing. My mom never allowed that. Like, you're going to speak. You're going to advocate for yourself. Like, yes, you're going to be present. Like, all of that, not speaking, shy, no. We're not doing that.
So you had a lot of people in your life who was, I don't hate that I almost lost it. You had a lot of people in your life who spoke life into you.
Yeah.
Who nurtured your seeds. That's so good.
Yeah. And I feel like my mom is like my biggest champion. But I can honestly say, like, well, I know you want to talk about my mom. But my mom has changed a lot. Like, when I was growing up, she was not who she is now at all. Like, I'm not going to lie, religion had her in the choke coat. Mm. So who she is now is so free. And, like, she was always who she was at the core. It was just kind of like, definitely hidden, definitely, I guess.
Limited.
Limited. That's the word. It was definitely limited because she was raised this way. You can't do this and you can't do that and this, that. So now that she kind of let her hair down, she gives me space to express still to this day. Like, and my mom is like my best friend. She probably texts me right now. Like, literally.
I don't know what's crazy. And I don't think Kayla knows this.
Don't make me cry. We're not supposed to be crying right now. Not yet.
But no, seriously. I don't know what year it was, but I was in early college and me and my mom's relationship, we were struggling so bad. Like, I mean, like, like, but we were struggling a lot, and like you, my mom's has always been super religious, and it had her in a chokehold, like, and she didn't like. I was a good kid. I didn't really get into much trouble. Like, I was, you know, I did what I was supposed to do, but she just had this idea of who I should be and what I should be and how I should do things and how she didn't want me to turn out like her and just all these things. So that's kind of where we were. And I was in college and I was starting to spread my wings. And I was spreading them beyond what I even could think I could do.
I was sad.
Exactly, literally. And I'm scrolling. Me and my mom, we literally had just finished arguing about something. I was washing the dishes. I'm on this girl Instagram and I see Kayla and her mom sitting, in, I think, in y'all living room or somewhere.
It was like talking. Yellow and red.
Mm-hmm. Talking. And I'm like, what are they talking about? I watch it. It was a long video. I watch it and I'm like, they're explaining like how, like, it was almost like, was it a program?
So we have a business. We have a lot of ideas, y'all. That's something I'm going to need to help me with. Like, I need to be consistent. But me and my mom have a business together. It's called the Mom and Me Foundation.
Yes.
Where we pretty much focus on strengthening mother-daughter relationships yes. through real conversation. That's it.
Ooh.
So we and was on live.
Literally, they was on live. Yeah, they was on live, and once it was saved, I watched it. They were talking about strengthening the mother and daughter relationship, their bond, and how they did it from scratch, basically. And she like, you need to communicate. You have to do this. And the mom was throwing ideas out there and just talking about that, like how they did it. And I'm like, I want this. Me and my mom's relationship is not the best right now. And I want to be able to, you know, get to this point. So I think I DM'd you and I asked you some questions like about how you did it, what exactly you said and things like that. And she was honest with me. She told me, answer my questions. And at the appointed time, literally, I went to therapy and I started just implementing it. Like, yeah, we're going to do this. And it took a long time. It felt like it took years, but it really was only a year. And I started to just have these conversations with my mom. Like, just talk to her and just really take Kayla's advice and take, like, follow her lead with it. And me and my mom have a great relationship. Like, we talk about anything and everything. Of course, with boundaries and with.
Yeah.
But, like, even that, like, I feel like I taught her so much that I don't even, like, she'll tell you, like, oh, yeah, Marie told me that. Or, like, she'll, and, you know, it's interesting to see, like, how much the, like, our relationship has been impacted since I went to therapy, since I even got to understand what you were teaching. And we've been good ever since, like,
that's
literally.
Really dope.
And I don't, like, it's crazy because she's always been a leader.
That's really dope, like. It's really dope to hear because that's why I get so hard on myself about being consistent because it's like, I know the power that I have. I understand it on a real level.
Yeah.
So it eats me up that life kind of gets the best of me and I'm not on top of
things. You and me both, child.
So it's just like the pressure of, I think I just made a post about this, but like the pressure of responsibility, the pressure of like walk. And people always say like, I want to build my relationship with God. I want to do this. I want to do that. And it's just like, you don't understand. Like, this is pressure. Like, being constantly reminded that you have somebody's life in your hands is like a
being
real
thing. Being constantly
reminded
if I don't show up that it could fall on the weight of my children, my children's children.
Like, bro, I cannot afford it. Like, nothing should be distracting me from this. This is important. Like, that's how I feel. But it's also like the balance of being human and being spiritual at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like you have to, you know, stay grounded because you are human, but you also have to be super aware that you're a spiritual being too.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of find that balance, and that's hard.
It's hard to be conscious all the time.
Oh, my
gosh. Oh, my gosh. Like, sometimes it's I just wish I can turn my own thoughts off. Like, please.
I made this post to my close friends. It said, I don't know why, people thought I was, like, being suicidal or something. But I said, it's really hard being me. Like, people don't get it. Like, you might think I have it all together, but it's just like, I know I could be so much further. I know I could have it so much more together.
Yeah.
And it's like, the pressure of my purpose is heavy. Like, you sure? You want to figure this out? You sure you want to start this journey? Mm-hmm. You sure? Because everything you do, like, once God unlocks that level of understanding and consciousness, you can't go backwards.
You can't unknow what you know. And
exactly.
Sometimes that's why I love when Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, when he talked about how wisdom, sometimes when he gained all of the knowledge, it was sadness attached to it. Because it's the more that we know, the more that we're conscious of these actual things, it's like, you can't unknow these things. You can't do stuff in ignorance like you see everybody else doing. You're very much aware of every step that you're taking at every time. And it's very heavy.
Yeah. Every time I see someone, like, literally, I've been pretty aware of my calling for a long time. But just stepping into this new phase of my calling, especially with speaking to people, I've never even liked talking.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, ever. Like, even when I was in high school, I would be around. I would talk in groups. But, like, come to public speaking?
Yeah, no.
Not happening.
Get somebody else to do it.
And literally, like, first of all, I always knew I had things to say. I just was too scared to say them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like my voice was taken away from me when I was a lot younger.
Yes.
And so trying to get it back and trying to find out who Marie Victoria is very hard for me. Like, I'm getting there, but it's hard. And understanding my purpose and understanding what God has called me to do, it's like whenever I see somebody, like, unallow themselves, or, like, whenever we had, like, I see it on Instagram, like, okay, this person just did this and they took their life when they're struggling. I'm like, bro, this is why I need to be doing what I'm doing, because that, like, literally,
I could have saved them. For
I tell people all the time, when you have God-given power and abilities that and purpose from God to heal, help, and, you know, lead people, you're like, other people's blessings is literally attached to your obedience.
Like
if you're not obedient, they're missing out. And that's a weight,
especially when God then lets you know, hey, so I've attached nations to you. And
oh,
you're
my,
like,
gosh,
like, that is,
you're like,
scary.
Okay, and now I feel the pressure of the world on my shoulders now.
Yeah.
Because if I, because as a creative and somebody who walks in such an anointing and power, mm-hmm. there is a way that we are attacked.
Yeah.
And it's very strategic.
Yes,
and so, because I use my voice a lot. And I use my creative faculties to write and just to create these things. I get attacked in the worst ways in my mind, trying to disrupt my energy, because he knows if my energy's off, I'm not going to show up and do the things that I know I necessarily need to be doing. Mm-hmm. There's just so much. And another way that I get attacked also is suicidal ideation. And I talk about this all the time, but it's now to the point where I've realized that just because I think a thought, I'm not my thoughts. So I've learned to detach my identity from what I'm thinking.
Yes.
And now I'm just talking back to it. Like, that's such a silly way for me to die. Why would I want to slam my car into this wall right now? Like, learning how to really speak to this thing, because the warfare that is connected with the anointing that you have, you really then have to realize, okay, I have to step into a new dimension of authority. Mm-hmm. Dominion, you know, we're doing our Dominion series, and power on a different level.
Yeah.
Because warfare is heavy.
And something that I was studying heavy during my awakening period was the tricks of the enemy.
Mm. Yes.
Because if I understand your tricks, I know how to not fall for them.
Exactly.
Right. So it's like, and I know that you're trying to attack my mind, because my mind controls everything about
everything.
Me. So now I have to be extremely cautious of what I hear, what I see, what I... like what I allow in my space, in my universe. And it's hard when we have these things. It's hard when I want to scroll on Instagram like a regular person. It's hard when I want to TikTok it up, because I mean, I'm just 24 and that's what I want to do in my downtime. But it's like, it's deeper than that.
Controlling your atmosphere.
It's rough.
It's hard.
Especially when you're always being
pulled.
You're always being like in front of so much information, so many videos, it's like, it's so much to see. Like, nothing is a secret. Nothing is mysterious. Everything is just out there. Like, you can't even, I'm supposed to be protecting my mind and guarding my gates, because I just got delivered from something.
Yes. And oh my gosh.
The devil is on my body. It. And you're going to post
the
that.
Body.
And I'm like, I'm running from this. And here you are. Like, the devil is so strategic. The same way. If I pray out loud and I talk out loud about anything that's supposed to be building up God's kingdom or building up Ray Victoria, literally he hears what I say. He hears what other people say. So when I get compliments and when people are speaking life and when I'm speaking life into others, he hears that. He's like, okay, I see what's important to her. Let me go grab that. Let me go. And when you don't have that foundation, Matthew 7 talks about your foundation being built on God. Like, firm foundation, Maverick City, good song. Go listen to it. But when you really go listen to it and read that scripture behind it, Matthew 7, I was amazed. Like, when your foundation is not built on God, the smallest thing can just wash you up onto the shore. Like, the smallest thing can just tear you up. But when you have your foundation built on God and it's rooted and grounded in the Most High, literally Jesus Christ, there is not a storm, there is not a wind, there is not a rain that can carry you. Like, literally, you're going to make it. You're going to push through because
you have something
your foundation
I wanna
is built on God.
Yeah.
I want to add in Hebrews 11 to that. Hebrews 11 chapter 11, verse 3. And it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that these things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Mm-hmm. I've been meditating on that all day today, because I started to really think, and I was listening to Tiffany Montgomery, and she really hit it. She hit it on the head. But she was talking about framing our future on the word of God. So when we think about how these thoughts enter into our minds, and they're like, okay, you might have grew up in lack. Mm-hmm. I'm somebody who did grow up around a lot of lack, a lot of conversations. There was a lot of money talk about problems and just how there's never not enough. Money don't grow on trees. All of these things that have seeped into our subconscious mind. But now I have to reframe where I'm going through the word of God. So I don't first see it. I have to declare it. Yeah. And in order to declare a thing, I have to know what the word says about a particular. So when I'm talking about finances, I'm going to Deuteronomy 11 and I'm seeing what he says. And then when I want to know about my, y'all thought I was lying when I said, God said, it's not good for man to be alone, but I'm declaring these things because I got to frame it.
You declaring what God already decreed.
Yeah, I got to frame it. So I'm not toiling for a thing or working for a thing. I'm coming into agreement. There's a scripture. I can't think of it right now. But where it, oh yeah, it was with Joshua. He says, I'm giving you this land. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's given, not worked for, but now we have to take it.
All right, we got to pause right there.
So crazy.
Hold on, wait. We're going to pause right there. We'll be back, y'all. Welcome back, y'all. We're back and we still have Kayla Stringfield on the ones and twos. But let's go.
So, we was talking about how sometimes, this is what I heard. I heard sometimes God show us things, but he have to give it back. And I can only, first of all, I just have to say like, God is good, first of all. Because I have a vivid experience of that. Like during Forex, he showed me so much. Like being in those rooms with those type of successful people, it definitely built my belief system for where I'm going. Mm-hmm. So I could have definitely, once everything fell, I could have definitely took a negative approach. Like, I waste my time. I did this. I did that. However, I still had the fact of I was exposed to so much. Mm-hmm. And that is the blessing in it right there. Yes. Like, if I had to go through that 2 years of grinding hard, cutting everybody off, like that laser focus was one thing that kind of shocked my shoes off. Like, mm-hmm. if I look back on that time, it's like, bro, I've never been so focused and dead serious about something like that. But I could also say, like, being in those spaces, it definitely elevated who I knew Kayla was. Definitely built my belief system for where I'm going. And if we're going to talk about faith, that's what faith is, believing in things that you don't see. But however, God, sometimes he will show you. Yes, he will show you where you're headed. However, I'm going to take it away because I need to build you up to sustain that type of wherever you're going to go. So that's what I heard. And I was kind of like on fire in the bathroom because I'm like, that's so dope. And I'm going to be transparent. I am not a Bible reader. Mm-hmm. I've never really developed that skill set of reading. Like, I mean, I can read, I'm not saying that, but I never really liked reading. You know, it started in school. We never had books that were interesting. Mm-hmm. So my desire to read was just never there. So whenever I read the Bible, it's just like,
no, I get it.
Okay. All right. Easy read version. What are we talking about? Like, so I definitely am trying to develop that discipline to dive into the word, because the fact that you could pull that story out and I have a real life revelation to kind of back it, it's just like, that's how powerful the word is. And I want people, and when I talk to people about my, you know, everybody, I feel like everybody have different versions of God. Like, who I believe God is might be different from you and different from the next person. Mm-hmm. But if you aspire to live a free life how I live, you have to kind of like understand the way I understand, if that makes sense. And I want to introduce people. I want to be able to pull a Bible verse and be able to articulate it to you in a way you understand it.
Yeah.
So, you know, to kind of just keep to ground people in, you know, Christianity, that's just who I am. I do read the Bible, but I also know I can pull a revelation out of the Quran or, you know, anything, honestly. Like, this tree, let me start it long enough, story gonna come up out of it. Like, that's just who I am.
The thing about the Bible, and this is what I found, because I have dyslexia, so reading is not my strong suit, never has been. It's a fact. We all know.
I never knew that.
Well, she found out. Because
I
tried
to
read
it before. Yeah.
She don't
know this. I think so. Because when I be typing my emails, y'all.
So, literally, I never was a good reader. Like, couldn't do it. I could understand it, but I can't
read it. Yeah.
So, I literally had to find, first of all, I had to ask God. I started with a devotional.
Yeah.
365 day devotional. And I'm like, after this, me and the Bible are going to be best friends. And I'm standing on it. Sometimes the devotional didn't make sense. Sometimes it was not here with it, but I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give it a year. After this year, I'm locking in. I'm gonna find me a Bible that makes sense. I'm gonna find me a Bible that relates to me and that can literally meet me where I am.
Yeah.
I found a woman's study Bible on Amazon, ordered it, started reading it. And before I read the Bible, I read almost every day. I pretty much read every day. Yeah. And what's helped me with making sure that I read it is posting it. Because people always comment when I post Bible scriptures about my the verse of the day. They be like, oh, and I break it down for them. They be like, I be waiting for you to post because I be needing this. And so knowing that people are looking for it, it keeps me reading. So I have to read it every day because I have to post it because it's for somebody else. And that's one thing. So when you attach somebody else's blessing to it, you have to do it because you know that they're dependent on you. The other thing was, before I read my Bible, I pray and ask God to reveal whatever he wants me to see from it. Because the Bible don't always make sense. It talks in parables all day, and it talks in freaking metaphors. And so before I read it, I say, God, what show me what you want me to get out here. Like, almost highlight the words for me and highlight the specific things you want me to see and give me your interpretation of it, not mine. Because I'm going to take it how I'm going to take it, but I want it how God meant for me to get it. Mm-hmm. And so I pray before I read, and I just allow God to show me throughout the day. And he always does. Like, whenever I break it down, it's always in simple terms because he shows me in simple terms. Mm-hmm. So I read it, but I just broke it down. Right. That's a great way to start. Like, just make up in your mind that.
It's crazy because I have the Bible app on my phone. Like, if I was to open my Bible app right now, you would see, like, annotations. Like,
yeah.
During that time, like, that heavy shifting, like, awakening time, I was reading. Mm-hmm. Because I would, like, go on Instagram and start talking. Like, I was doing that heavy. And then I just honestly don't know what happened. So I guess this is, like, my public way of just saying, like, nah, I got to get back. But I can't deny the fact that I heard God saying that before this episode or this opportunity. Because it's, like, I avoid it. I don't have time. I don't, you know, excuses, just anything. Yeah. And it's just, like, you have time, bro. You wake up at 5 a.m. to plan a lesson, like. And I listened to Sarah Jake's podcast too this morning, and she was talking about that. Oh, let me see.
I need to start watching her podcast.
I love her. Like, if you know me, you know I love Sarah. Like, that lady, I literally paid for a concert ticket for me and my mom to go, a conference ticket.
Oh, you did her 2023?
No, not 2023. Okay. It was when she came to Philly. It was like 2019.
Okay.
I can literally relate to you with that, because when God called me in college and I ended up getting a job at Amazon, and I was on them vans for 5, 6, 7 hours, I didn't want to listen to music. I literally binge watched Sarah Jakes all day.
Like,
between her and Mike Todd, and then I read her book.
Relationship Goals?
Girl, yes. I had to get Stephen Steffens. He was talking about the relationships.
Oh, I got that, Stephen Steffens.
Yep. And then I read her book, Lost and Found. And she automatically, like, I was so drawn to her ministry and her story because our stories were so similar. Teen motherhood. She was a mother at a very early age. I was a mother at a, not super early, but early enough. She was in a domestic relationship. I was in a domestic relationship. She went through these trials. She found her power. I'm finding my power. I was just so relatable. Like, I don't know. Somewhere along the way, I did kind of like fall off from her. But when I do listen to her, that same power and anointing is like on 1,000.
It's like from Girl Get Up. Like,
Girl Get Up. That is my sermon.
Single
Girl
sermon.
Get Up.
And that's the word for us. Like, that's the word for us. Literally, stand up. You weak in the knees. Get up.
You weak in the knees, girl. I needed that Sunday. Where
get
are
up.
You?
Get up.
I'm going to text Mariah.
No, like, no. Sarah so is really, you. Like, I really know one day I'm going to get an email. Like, I just know, like, it's like,
God. I had a vision of me sitting down with her. God showed me that I'm going to be in a room with her and we're
going to
have conversation.
I'm going to boohoo cry before the conversation. But, like, I promise I'm going to give that conversation
Girl, I love this. This is so, because I love about God is he confirms and he confirms and he just confirms. No matter how long ago the word was given, he just confirms. You keep going. You're on the right path. Mm-hmm. Keep walking. Keep journeying.
But something I want to say to, because I feel like a lot of people that watch podcasts or like spiritual things, it's kind of like I'm seeking, like I'm looking for something. And granted, you are supposed to enter this room or this space with an expectation. But when we say things like God confirms, God does this, God does that, you have to really put yourself in a space of accepting it.
Yeah.
You have to be paying attention to know when God is confirming what. Like, it's not a magic trick. That is like my biggest tip for just people trying to build this relationship with God, trying to start
this. Like, it's a formula.
It is not a magic trick. God is not going to say, voila, boom, here I go. No, your world have to be so silent to hear the soft sound. I know we all know that.
Yes.
Like, you got to, and also the way God talked to me might not be the way he talked to
you. You got to examine your heart, too. Because a lot of times we're filled, and I talked about that one time. God will, he'll give you a bunch of words and downloads, and then what we call tests will come, and it just goes to reveal what you're actually filled with.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to discerning, if you're filled and clouded with what's on social media, that's why we kind of all sound the same when we're walking through our daily lives. But when you're filled with like negativity, or you're filled with all the rage, or whatever the case may be, discerning the voice of God is a lot more harder, because the frequency that he operates on, that one of love and gratitude and faith, that is that's a frequency that a lot of people do not.
It's literally like unlocking like a escape room. Mm-hmm. You are literally not getting to the next level if you're not, and that's why I use the words, you need to silence the noise.
Silence.
And noise is not, you know, like in the spiritual realm, we're not speaking of like literal noise, but I feel like noise is the best way to, yes, it's like chaos. Your chaos can be self-doubt. Your chaos can be family.
That you won't
relationships. Your noise or
energy.
It could be anything, but you got to do that work within you to really find God. Like, and I feel like people always is like, I'm gonna find God. Baby, you gotta find yourself before you find God.
That's the beautiful thing is, when you find God, it's because God gave you a mirror of who you are.
But if you're not willing to
do the work,
turn the mirror on.
I think that's one of people's hardest things about connecting with God, because you gotta connect with yourself. And everybody runs from this stuff. It's the most uncomfortable thing to come back into your own body.
It's hard. It's challenging, because you have to talk about the things that you probably kept a secret since it happened to you.
Mm. And you gotta hold yourself accountable. And holding yourself accountable, that hurts sometimes, because it's so much easier to say,
because it's somebody's fault.
They did it. They hurt me. I can put it on you, because if I put it on you, then I don't have to face the fact that I'm actually insecure, that I have issues, that I need to accept the fact that, you know, it's just so much. It's so much.
I literally made a post yesterday, 2 days ago, about this. Like, what'd I say? I said something like, when I'm having a conversation and I hear, what I say, ego and pride, I just shut up.
Walk out the door. I saw that.
I just shut up. Yeah. I just don't say anything. And I was talking about a conversation with another person, but that's true for a conversation with yourself too. Mm-hmm. We tend to shut down when it's like, it's time for us to stand up. Mm-hmm. You shutting down when you're supposed to be fighting for your life right now. Like, also too, I tell people, you need to make it your fault. Granted, some things that happened to you, especially when you was a child,
not your fault.
Of course it's not your fault. But if you're going to start this walk of self-awareness and trying to figure out who you are, you have to make it your fault so you can grow from it.
Yeah.
I love people who, it doesn't matter what happened, I can find
something that I could have.
I love people. Like, it's one of my favorite things, because we can point fingers all day, but I always tell people, do you want to be a victim or do you want to be powerful? Because you cannot be both.
That part.
And as long as you blame, that's, you're giving people control.
Over you,
I'm not giving you that much control. Yes, you might have did that to me, but I could have did this to avoid that.
Exactly.
Because this is my life.
That's how I keep my peace.
Yeah,
I walk away from situations with the utmost peace, knowing that.
And don't care.
And just, I know that I did my part, and I can acknowledge when I messed up. And in that, I find so much peace.
Yeah.
Because you're fighting for your life over there, knowing daggone well, you keep on trying to put a wall over my eyes or something. It's like, you know in your soul that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Because I know in my soul when I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So I know you know you're wrong. Like, it's so much harder for you to try to make me at fault, because you're making me at fault. Now we arguing because you know you don't make sense. You're trying to fake like I'm.
And now my ego has to defend myself.
Yeah.
And
but that's the crazy part. I literally used to be that person that just like, oh no, we're gonna tell the truth, because I'm not good at lying, so I gotta tell the truth. But I used to be like, oh no, we're gonna tell the truth, we're gonna get to the bottom of the truth. They're gonna know the deepest and darkest of how you even did that, because it wasn't me.
Like,
but
I'm
so peaceful with just, I'll be the bad guy. And it's because I know that I've reached a certain level of awareness that some people just haven't gotten there yet.
Not
even gonna get it. Like, it's fine. If I need to be the bad guy in your book, I'll do it.
trying to communicate to somebody, realizing that they're not going to be able to come to my level. I'm going to have to come down to theirs.
It's like, you reached your cap.
I worked too hard. Yeah. I worked too hard to get here. Yeah. I done went too deep down in my life, in my journey, and all of this to fix who I am, to go back down. What? Come on.
That part.
That's not fair. That's not fair to me and the work that I did and the nights that I cried and all of the prayers that I done sent up.
Yes.
Bro, go ahead.
Literally.
Do your thing.
And what's crazy is God, I was just, what scripture was it? I was just reading and I think it was Matthew 4. I love Matthew. That's one of my favorite books. Mm-hmm. Matthew, John, and Romans. Favorite books. But I think in Matthew 4, it was talking about going into your hiding place, going into your secret place. Mm. And that part was so good to me because I'm, like I said, I'm not good at lying. I'm not good at faking. Yeah. You're going to know. And he literally was saying, like, you have to make sure that your heart is in the right posture when you're doing anything. Like, you cannot, you have to pray in your secret place. You have to do good to others in your secret place. Like, people are always looking for their reward to be from you, from him, from her. I want somebody to see this. Somebody got to see me giving this homeless man some money so that I can get a pat on the back. Or somebody got to see me praying so they can know that I'm a Christian. Like, no, you have to go into your secret place because it's about your heart. And so even when people, like, can't take accountability, it's like, where's your heart? Like, why do you feel the need to just put on other people? Like, why can't you hold yourself accountable? Why can't you self-reflect? Like, what is going on with your heart that you have to put it out on somebody else?
It would destroy the identity that the ego has created for who self. It's of who they, it's who a disruption of self, basically.
Have you ever heard of the acronym, what ego, like the acronym of ego?
No.
Edging God out.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
There's
good.
No God there. Yeah. Because it's an image.
It's an image.
For the... for the world. Mm-hmm. We don't, as spiritual beings, we cannot live for the world. We cannot be of the world. Yeah. We always talk
live
about
in
that.
But you're not of it.
Yes. Like, you're here, obviously, you're a human. You're a spirit in a flesh suit.
Yeah.
You're a spirit in a flesh suit.
I don't know why you don't read that word, because you got it. It's coming out your mouth.
She hears it through the sermons.
And it's coming out.
Yeah.
It's just like... I don't know. Like, I just feel like, because I know that you're a spirit, even though you don't recognize it.
Because,
like,
we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
You feel it.
Don't get me started.
And that's what a lot of people get a lot of grace from me now, because I recognize that it's not necessarily
it's not you.
But I understand that sometimes it's you wrestling with some spirits. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to that lion spirit, like when I went into my job, and the moment I went into the job, and I know that I'm a light and I know that I'm an oracle wherever it is that I go. And so when I step into a room, the person who scrunches their face up at me, mm-hmm. I immediately know that their spirit is irritated by the light and my presence.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, that's going to be the one that's going to try to disrupt. Because the light and the darkness cannot coexist. Yeah. Darkness cannot, it has to flee in the presence of the light.
Yep. And that's something I'm really working on, especially as a teacher. I will literally put you out of my classroom. Get out. Get out.
Get out.
Because you're not about to sit right here and disrupt my energy. Yeah. Like, I can feel it. I can sense that you're not okay. And I am just not there yet to just ignore you. I am not there. And it's just like,
you gotta protect your peace.
Bro, get out. What is wrong with you? Like,
that goes back to this series, though, of what happened to you.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, the way that my mind has always thought, even as a little girl, I remember we were bullying one of my dad's girlfriends one time, and all my siblings were making fun of her. And I just had this moment of sadness, and I literally started crying. They're like, why are you crying? And I looked at her, and I just started wondering, who is she as a woman? Why would it be okay for us to do that? So, like, when it comes to, like, kids and stuff, too, I'm automatically, what happened to you?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
And it's like, I am that teacher too. That's why I eat myself up so much, because on one hand, it's like, get out. Like, you're disrupting me.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's like, let's talk.
Because sometimes, like, it's very uncontrollable.
I need to know, but I also need to teach you. Yeah. You cannot operate in what happened to you. Yeah. And I knew I was going to have a perfect time to say my notes. Let's go to it.
Because
I thought about this. When you sent it to me, I wrote it down. I said, what happened to you? I said, it This idea alludes to a transformation that happened on the inside of you after an experience. Most times we are stuck in our emotions, focusing on the experience. We miss out on the beauty or torment of the transformation.
Mm, that's so good.
And it's so crazy because my awakening started with God. Who am I? I used to always tell people, like, you don't even know who I am. And then one day, God was like, so who are you? Mm. And I'm like, who am I? I don't know, actually. And then it was just like, are she ready? She's ready to figure out who I call her to be.
Yeah, when you... No. It's like that dying to self, literally. That moment of surrender.
That's what was happening on that floor. When I bust into that room.
But you know that whole car ride though?
God, it was like stripping me away.
God, he starts. It's funny because when you start surrendering yourself to God, it starts off so small. And you just like, I'ma just do this. And it's something so different. Like, I'm sure even for you, like that ride home was probably just the entire time you was just like, bro, what is this? What's happening? And it's crazy because even when you don't have the words to say, God says that he hears every groan.
I love that.
He knows
that.
Whatever. You could cry. Ooh. And he read your heart the entire time you cry. So you don't even have to pray and ask.
That's
him
why I just cry now.
Have you ever seen that post? It was like a letter. It was like a notebook. And it said, Dear God at the top. And it was just teardrops.
Tears. He read every one of them and said, I got you. Yeah. Here you are. You're mine.
It's like, I just had to pray that prayer.
And sometimes when I think God is going to like, he's going to rebuke me and yell at me or be super angry with me. And he comes to me with the most gentle, I love you. Yeah. And for me, because I'm such a sensitive person, he knows how to deal with me in the most gentle way because I'm not somebody who can receive harsh. So he does not deal with me harsh. He's very gentle with me. And it's created such a safe environment. It goes back to what you were saying, but I always tell people the reason why I can show up in the world so powerful, so affirmed, and just standing very strongly in who I am, I have a place where I can go be weak. Mm. And in the place where I can go be weak, and I can be my most vulnerable self. And he's so gentle with me. Mm-hmm. And it's just the biggest release. And now I go back out there, not looking for approval, not looking for affirmations like I once did. I show up affirmed. This is who Krista is. This is what I have to say. Mm-hmm. And I've been finding my voice. And it's been so amazing.
I think as a kid, like I always, ask me, I wasn't always this, you know, put together. I really never cared about what to say. I think that is something that... Rough. I think I'm very proud of, though, because in these rooms where I have to come show up in when I'm 24 and teaching students that know I'm 20. They don't know I'm 24, but they know I'm young.
Yeah.
And then I have to work with my teachers that think I'm child. Actually, crazy fun fact. I don't care if you listen to this, actually. So I was supposed to speak at senior inaugural. You know this lady. So the seniors appointed me to speak at senior inaugural. The class advisor asked me to speak at senior inaugural. I sent my bio and everything. The next day they said you was too young to speak.
Really?
If anybody's going to get to them, it's the young person.
Too young.
I've never even heard that. I'm always hearing about us being empowered to go forth.
And I'm initially, I'm not going to lie, I was being human about it. I was upset. I was very like, that's some hating stuff. Like, y'all hating. Like, what? How am I too young to speak and I'm a teacher? What is 40 minutes, 30 minutes, if that, going to do more than I'm doing every single day standing in front of students? Like, what are we talking about here? But the fact that it didn't make sense snapped me right back into my spiritual self. Like, hey, look, it's not time. It's not, you're not ready yet. Like, I don't know for what reason you're not ready, but not right now.
But he said if it's according to his will, it'll happen at the appointed time. Like, that's God so is not beautiful. A fast God. He's not, I mean, he can be fast. He can move fast, but he's not like a here. You get this. He's like, yes. I'm going to prune you. I'm going to prepare you. I'm going to shape you and mold you into who I've called you to be. So when you get the blessing that I have for you, you're going to be able to handle it. You're going to be able to maintain it. You're going to be able to multiply it.
Because that's what we're called to
and
do.
At its appointed time.
Yeah. And because I always tell people, he's not, I mean, yes, he cares about the destination and getting you there. But he's not so concerned about the destination as much as he is about the character and the person that you become along the way.
Yeah.
And so that's really, and I love that your mind said, oh my God, that was so mature for you to say. I quickly snapped in and said, wait, because I don't know. That's so, because y'all, I used to struggle with anger issues, and it would come out in a variety of ways. Rather, it was road rage, and I mean really bad road rage. Like, I'm just like, get out the car, I want to fight you.
No, like, follow you home.
Yeah, follow you home. Like, it gets crazy. And, I used to just have really bad rage. And something that's coming up again, because what I love about God is we'll think that something's gone, and then you get into a season where he's bringing it to the surface to show you, no, that's still in there. So, like, lately he's been highlighting that anger's not really gone all the way. Mm-hmm. And I've been getting angry again. And I'm like, okay, I need to flip that spiritual side, like how you just had that moment of clarity. But sometimes I get so lost in the emotion. So I'm going to use that. You just helped me.
Not even just that, girl. Get. I'm not going to do that. Literally go into your. I was about to say get on your knees. But go into your hiding place. Literally ask, like, because it's been the same thing for me. Like, I went without being anxious for a long time. And then I just started getting anxious out of nowhere. And it was been bad. Like that. And I literally had to sit and say, God, what is happening? Why am I reverting? That's the scary thing for me. You've gotten so far and you start reverting. It's like, wait a minute. No, I haven't picked up a drink, girl, since
I'm scared because, like, I used to also be an angry drinker. And drunk. I didn't want to say that. But as I've been drinking again, I find myself getting super aggressive. And my friends are like, wow, I haven't seen this side of you in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I literally, like, usually I have a glass of wine with my mom a day. It's a thing that we're praying for. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that. Like, I'm just like, it's concerning for me.
Yeah, I think. So when my granddad passed away, mm-hmm. when I was in 10th grade? Mm-hmm. 2016, I don't know. I was so angry. That's when I first went to therapy. I went to Miss Casey at Western. I was so upset. Mm. And now I know, like, if Kaylee, if you're angry for multiple days, like, angry to the point, like, I remember the day I told my mom I needed help. I told her, girl dropped a pencil in class and it was up. Like, what? You are dumb. Like, I was like, okay, it's something wrong. Like, I literally could not calm myself down. Like, the situation should be over. Like, mentally, I'm over it. But it's still, like, we can still, yeah, for real, about that pencil because you pissed me off. It is what it is. So I told my mom, like, I need help because this is not okay. Like, I'm trying to calm myself down. It's not happening. So now when I feel that way, it's like, hey, there's something wrong. It's deeper than you being upset. And I had to discover that, like, my sadness comes off as anger. Why do I do that? And then I think about, you know, my roots. And then I think about, like, my dad. And my dad is, like, still to this day, don't call him if it's not a green light. Don't call him in no yellow light type of situation. Don't call him if you don't want him to do nothing about it. Mm. So it's, like, I need to figure that out. Like, how can I release that energy? And we talked about that too. Like, people are battling a lot of, like, spiritual things or, like, spirits are on them. Yeah. And we got to recognize that spirits leap generations. And if you're not willing to discuss it, and if you're not willing to discuss, like, who your parents are, if you don't know who your parents are, it's like, that's an extra layer of work.
That's so, that should actually, I want to bring you on to talk about that.
That's we what can. I'm saying. We I'm going to be back. Have to do this again because
we have to wrap up, but we need you back.
Yeah, you gotta come
back. I'm coming back.
This conversation is so fruitful, and I think that we can keep going with this.
I'm gonna cry.
I like it.
I'm gonna cry so bad when I get in the car.
Good.
This was a good release.
Good release.
Yes, it's like, this is like my purpose place. Like, this is where I feel on fire. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes.
Girl,
like, this is,
we gonna talk.
This is like who I am. This is who I know I am. Amen. I just did, my pastor has a podcast called Pastor Anthony Said, and I was on there, and I felt the same way, like, this is, I have to do
but
this.
You know what that
I
is?
Have to.
You know what that's called?
What?
Anointing.
Yeah.
Oil.
He said that.
Literally.
That's it.
He was like, I think somebody, he gave me feedback because I went to church the following Sunday, and he was like, somebody, I guess one of his friends, like an older guy, he was like, she got it. Mm-hmm. She's young. And it's like, stuff like that, it's like, yeah. Of course, if I was egotistic, it'd be like, yeah, I'm like it. That. But it's just like, like, it just made me want to quit my job and just like,
girl, you
go on Instagram Live all day.
Seriously.
Like, that's what it made me want to do.
I had that one moment and now I had to go get my job back.
Well, listen, y'all, we gotta put a pin in it And we're going to look out for Kayla Stringfield part two, because nice. This was
so good.
When I tell y'all this was good, it was good.
It was so good. I hope y'all stayed with us to the end.
It's time.
No,
it's
for real. Time. We have to put every part on Instagram. Like, just.
Well, until next time, we'll see y'all. Y'all can follow us on everything at Saved and Such. SAVEDSUCH. I did it. I will see y'all.